Like I said a few minutes ago, for those that don't know me, my name is Evan Boone. I am excited to be here with y'all this morning. We've been talking about a church on mission. Well, hold on a second. Give me it. For those that don't know, I'm a water bottle drinker. The Good Hope crowd knows that I keep like a little stool next to me to get water. If y'all didn't also know, my generation is called the water bottle generation, I think they say. Like, this is my comfort blanket, as Pat reminded me. It's like my blankie. So this makes me comfortable. Yeah, there you go. So I'm also a little bit of I get dry mouth speaking and stuff like that. I was husky as a kid, so I think, mouth breathing, I heard, is now like a derogatory thing, but I was husky as a kid, so it just kind of runs in my blood. I'm going to be that way. But we've been talking about the idea of a church on mission together. We've talked a lot about the foundation of Mountain View, how it got started. Tim shared more of like what it means to be a church on mission and the challenges we face and that our motives matter. That's what Tim's like. I've heard him say this countless times. Motives matter. And what is behind the heart of what we do? That's why this church is, like, we talk about why this church has been meeting, what's the DNA of Mountain View, what's our roots that we need to stay true to as a church family. More and more people are coming. We have new faces every week, and this is a blessing from God, but how do we keep to those roots and that foundation that we're talking about when we say like the DNA of Mountain View, the roots of Mountain View? And it's good, I think, for us to like, even for me, I've been around for many years, but it's good for me to refocus on what brought me and my wife to this church. And y'all might have heard me share on the Eve service kind of why we came around, why we are a part of Mountain View, what brought us and what connected us. It's no easy task. With more and more people, it's harder to maintain that community feel, that feel that we all felt at some point when we walked in the door here at Mountain View. And Karen and I felt that right away when we walked in the door. I talked about it this morning. I felt these things when I walked in the door that I didn't feel most of the time when I was a part of other churches. And that drew us in. That made us want to come back. But ultimately, we felt love. And all those years ago at the Stone Chapel, walking up the stairs, people greeting us, we felt all these things. And this, I'll tell you some points. So the points were, they made us feel like a family when we walked in the door. They let me feel the passion that they had for the gospel, and we still do that. Let them feel the life and vitality that this church body has. That's a big one. If you walk in the door and you don't feel the life of a church, it's hard to get excited. Let them feel that come as you are, but don't stay that way, as Tim would say it. We want everyone to come. It don't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter that you don't think you should be here. Come as you are. That's what I felt when I walked in the door, that acceptance. But most of all, like I said, we felt love. And when people walk in the door here, that's what they have to feel. They have to feel that we have a love for one another, and we have a love for our community, our church, our family. This week, I'm going to continue to talk about a church on mission. How do we stay on mission as a church body, and what does that look like? What is the hands-on application of what we are talking about as a church on mission? It's funny, when Tim and Chris and I talked about this topic, we immediately had one of those moments where we're like, okay, Holy Spirit, like, you got me again. Like, I see we're all on the same page already, and we didn't even know that we were thinking about the same thing. That's not a coincidence. There's no such thing as coincidence. The Holy Spirit put on our minds that we are being blessed as a church family, but how do we all feel about, how do we stay true of what drew us in to being part of this family here at Mountain View? What it looks like to be a church on mission together. I want to take a minute and just encourage this church and give thanks to this church family once again for all the things that they're already doing. We're doing a lot of this. I'm not saying that like, oh, we got to get back to being a church on mission. This family does an amazing job of loving others. I'm thankful for everyone that stepped out of their comfort zone and joined us over at Good Hope to do that and just reach more people. I'm thankful for everyone pulling double duty here and at the other services, because now not only are we blessed with a massive amount of kids in this church family, I'm included. I drive the giant van outside, if y'all didn't know. We got a few giant van families in this church. But we're blessed with a lot of kids, and there's people pulling double duty to make sure that we have enough childcare and stuff in three services. I'm thankful for those people. Seeing that, recognizing that. Helping, seeing the need. I'm thankful for a group of women the other day that went out on their own and blessed a family in need with some groceries, helping people, stepping out, and seeing other people in need. This church is doing that regularly. I'm thankful for a group of men that recently got together and did a project to help an elderly woman that does not even attend this church service with us. Most of these things you don't even know about, you don't hear about, and that's okay. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what the body is already doing here, encouraging one another, loving one another, going out and being the hands and feet of Jesus. That's what I wanted to make sure you know here. I'm not just here to talk to you and tell you all the things that we should be doing. We are doing a lot of that. I just want to make sure we don't lose that. It doesn't look like, lost my place there. There are so many examples of this church recently, all of us that go out and love people in the name of Jesus Christ, and it's not always somebody like me standing up in front of the church that does it. We are blessed in this church with people that are on mission. I believe that we have people in this church that want to be the hand and feet of Jesus and be just like him. It doesn't look like some public figure or a paid church staff that needs to go do that every day. And if we're not careful, that's what we start to believe. That's the lie that we start to believe, that I'm not qualified or I didn't go to school for that or something like that. The Church of Acts was everyday people doing grand things in the name of Jesus Christ to love their community, go forth and make disciples. The Bible didn't say only the full-time people or the select few go out and shine God's light. That brings me to the next part, being the hands and feet. How do we do that? I just said it. We are already striving to do the little things that most people don't even know about. My men's group this week talked about this. It's funny. Again, Holy Spirit, you got me. Like, here's this sermon I'm planning on preaching, and these guys bring up, like, I just feel like I can't, how do I go out and help people? And we talked about little things. Things you're already doing that you don't know you're doing. Consistent things. This church is already striving to do it, to be the hands and feet, like I said. Not looking for recognition, not looking for their own glory, but just trying to love people and shine God's light everywhere they go. We sometimes look for these big, grand gestures that I talked about and think that's the only way we can make a difference. I know a lot of people in this room, and there is some new faces, and I'm going to tell you right now, I can look around this room, and many of you don't know it, and you don't think you make a difference, but you make a difference every day. I know the things that a lot of you are doing, and I'm here to tell you, you may not think you're qualified, but you are qualified. You're here to love people. You're living life with people already. We're praying for countless people. This is a hard time of year. We're praying for Carly and Evan. But you know what? There's people that are already living life with them that are alongside them and loving on them. And that's what they're supposed to do. That's what the church is supposed to do. We're supposed to love our neighbors. We're supposed to be living life with people, and we do step up and we see them when they're in need, and we respond to the need that they have. Mark chapter 12, I got to get water real quick. I warned y'all ahead of time. There's that mouth breathing again. Getting me in trouble. Mark chapter 12, if you have your Bible, verse 28 through 31. One of the teachers of the religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well, so he asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this: Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important: love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." Loving one another. That's it, guys. Jesus just said it. That's what we're doing here, going out and loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. He tells us the key right there to go forth and making disciples. Love your neighbor. We don't have to be some trained missionary. We don't have to have these grand things or study for many years to know what to just talk to our neighbor about. Bringing glory to God, loving him with all our hearts, all our strength, and also loving our neighbors with all our hearts and all our strength. Normal men like Peter, a fisherman, a normal everyday man doing his job, saving 3,000 in Acts chapter 2. That's a normal man doing his normal things, and he was used in a way to save 3,000. "Well, Evan, you know, what do you mean? I don't know where to start, and I don't, you know, that's easy for you. This is your calling up here and stuff like that." Guys, I'm not sure this is my calling. But you know what I do know? I'm trying to be obedient, and I'm standing up here and be faithful. That's what each of us can do. Be faithful right where you are. Your everyday job, be faithful as a believer. Love people. See people. Be aware of what people are going through. If you see someone sitting and they look like they're at their wits' end, we all get that burning I talked about a while back in your the pit of your stomach. That probably means you should go talk to them. Not thinking of yourself, but thinking of the greater good for God's kingdom. Being aware and looking around. That's the key. Being aware and looking around at others, thinking of the greater good for your neighbor, not thinking of what it's going to do for me, but what it's going to do, or what it's going to do for my church, but what it's going to do for his church. I'm going to give y'all a few examples, and I'm going to tell y'all something, and I'm sure she's watching this, so she's going to find out anyways, but I told the first service they better not tell her. I'm scared of Lori, but this is a story about Lori. So that little small lady from New Jersey that corrects how I talk quite a bit and tells me that I have a bad mouth when I say things like, what's one? Somebody knows it, like, but. So I'm going to say that right now. So I'm probably in trouble right now for that one. Anyways, but I love her dearly, and I've known Lori for a long time. And I am going to share a couple examples. And in the first service, Terry was sitting here. Some of y'all might not know, but Wayne Tatum passed away a while ago. And our church, through Lori Duggins, was able to connect with that family and love that family during a time of need. These are people that did not attend our church services. They weren't part of our church family, however you want to say it. But Lori sat with Wayne for the few last years of his life. And Lori was herself every day, loving that family, serving that family, and being the hands and feet of Jesus every day, just living her life. Michael Osgood was here this morning. I looked right at Michael. Michael's another example. Lori was being the hands and feet, loving Michael and his wife when they were going through a hard time in their life, as Michael lost his wife. Tim and Lori came alongside them and loved them. That's what they did. Somebody asked me after Wayne's, our church helped and did it's like a celebration of life. We just wanted to be a blessing. That's what this church, I said, we're already doing it. We had volunteers, people bringing food, people doing things. We're already doing these things. But somebody came up to me, not a part of our church family I know that's related to Wayne, and they said to me, I just want to find a way to make sure we give some kind of donation or something like that to Mountain View since y'all have helped us so much. I looked right at her and I said, it's not why we did it. Terry and Wayne weren't part of our family. But you know what? That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to see people in need. We're supposed to see people going through hard times. We're supposed to love people when they're in need, when they're feeling like they have no way out. Because guess what? That's what Christ did for each of us. People are not used to pure motives. It confuses people. They're trying to figure us out. I'm not just saying Mountain View is the only church doing this, because it's clear that plenty of churches have done this, because the church from Acts to now has grown and boomed. They are doing this. But what I am saying is, where we live right now, people are focused on motives. We talked about it earlier. I said earlier, Tim says motives matter. Our motives, our heart behind what we do, matter every day when we go out into this community and shine our light in what we're doing. What are our motives behind what we're trying to do? I'm going to give you another example. When Mountain View decided to help keep the Good Hope school going, I can't tell you the amount of people that came up to me. If you don't know, my wife and I, Karen, we help a lot with the school. I am so thankful for Caitlin Racer. Caitlin is a blessing to me. She does an amazing job, and I'm just going to tell y'all, you don't want me out there teaching those kids. Now, if you want me to get them riled up and have fun with kids, I'm all for it. But I'm not going to teach kids and lead a school. Thankful for Caitlin. But when Caitlin came to us and said her heart was telling her that she didn't want to see this school go away, and I'm going to tell you, I get emotional about this. And if y'all tell Tim I'm crying, and if he watches this video, I'm going to be really pissed, because I make fun of him for crying. But I'm emotional about the school. I love the school. I love those kids. I can't tell you the amount of people that said, what's in it for you? Why are you doing this? Why are y'all doing this? And I looked at everything, every single one of them, and I said, everything's in it for us. We get to be a blessing to children. We get to bless families in this community that need another option for school and childcare. We get to go out and be the hands and feet of Jesus and be an example to these kids and families that don't all know Jesus. We get to shine his light through this school every day. Not some grand gesture or some ulterior motives to what we're doing, but we are going out and loving people where they are in this community where we live. That's what we get to do. That's what our motives are. Pure. There was a need for a school, and we want to support that need. God, through the Holy Spirit, put people in our lives to fill that need. Caitlin Racer, years in advance, shared with my wife that she had a heart one day to start and help with a school. Caitlin came to our church family not knowing that, not knowing that God was going to put that in front of her. We responded to a need, and we are going to support people when they respond to a need. That's what this church family has to do. We're going to support people that want to start a Bible study. I'm just here to tell you, if you've started a Bible study in this group, I guarantee you that Tim came behind you and pushed you as hard as he possibly can. And we're going to continue to do that. If you tell me that you feel like there's a need for a group to have a Bible study or something, I'm going to be your biggest advocate right behind Tim and Lori, right behind Chris Davis, right behind all of us. We're here to support you when you think there's a need. We are going to support other churches that need a space to meet while their building is getting worked on. That's weird. Everybody says, why are you doing this? Why are you supporting another church family down the road? Because that's what we're supposed to do. It's all his church. It's not ours. We're going to support a food pantry when somebody says it's needed in the county. Someone wants to go and love people and on missions and in a hurting community somewhere else. We're going to support them. I'm not talking only about financial support. I'm talking about prayer, physical labor, promoting it, whatever else you want to say. They need to know that we are on their team. We have their back. We are their support network, because it's not easy. It's not easy going out in the world every day and doing these big things. But when you have a church family that's right behind you, pushing you forward and supporting you, you can do anything with Jesus and the Holy Spirit on your side. We are right behind them as they lead the way, and we are their support system. The body of Christ is supposed to do that. We are a community. That's what we're here to do. We are going to be the church that responds to needs. When there's a need, we help and we respond to that need through prayer, through guidance of the Holy Spirit. This family is focused on loving others and being the hands and feet of Christ. That's the big secret, guys. There's nothing in it for us. It's all for His glory. It's not for us. We're not doing this for ourselves. We're doing this to love people around us, just like Jesus told us to. Just like Jesus lived His life every day, self-sacrificing, the joy that we get in our lives comes from the joy of Jesus Christ, not the joy of our own works. Water break. It's even worse when I get emotional, so that's why I try not to. So, y'all remember those gifts we talked about? That's right. We're coming all the way back, full circle, from that whole series around Christmas. Those gifts we talked about back in the holidays, if we can see His gifts, we have to be able to share them with others without expecting anything in return. Because He already gave us the greatest gift of all. We talked about it on Christmas Eve. He is the greatest gift of all. We have to share His gifts with other people. Making me miss my kids over there. Usually there might be a kid in my arm or something during the Good Hope service, so I love it. We haven't done anything groundbreaking here, guys, at Mountain View. Like the Church of Acts, it's already been going on for thousands of years. We just can't lose our focus in keeping our motives pure as more and more people come. When there's a need, we help and respond to that need. We don't create things that fit our motives or our own human plans for what we think our community needs or what we want to see in our life, so we push that on other people. No, we are responding to a need when we see it. Loving and seeing our neighbor. That's hard today, to slow down and see someone in need. Who's ever tried to help somebody, ask somebody, oh, Christmas time, I want to help. Does anybody know anybody we can help? How hard is it to find somebody to help? It's hard. But if you slow down and look and see people, it's a lot easier. I'm guilty of it. I'm not standing up here yelling at y'all saying, this is for me. This whole thing I prepared for, it's to help me. And if it helps y'all and blesses y'all, then to God be the glory. I'm going to close with this. I dream of an Acts church. You might have been here like a year and a half, 2 years ago. I preached on Acts with Tim. And if you would ask me that, I'd be standing up here today and I'd be preaching at another campus and everything like that. I said, you're nuts. But I study a lot in Acts. And when I got saved, I read through the book of Acts and I was like, this is what I want. This is amazing. Look how selfless the whole church was. People going, doing things. All through the book of Acts, we see examples of everyday people living out the way Jesus did. That example should fuel us. We have the apostles where Peter, so filled with the Holy Spirit, led 3,000 people to be baptized and saved in Acts 2:41. Stephen, I don't know if y'all know this. I preached that same time on Stephen. Stephen's like my hero. This is the everyday guy that we barely know anything about, but so filled with the Holy Spirit, went out and did these amazing things. He performed great wonders. He testified the truth of Christ till his death, and his very painful death that he went through, but filled with the Holy Spirit, an everyday man doing his everyday life. Philip, an ordinary man that made a huge impact on evangelism through Samaria and the Ethiopian churches. Paul, don't even get me started on Paul. For everybody that said a minute ago when I said, you don't know what I've done. I know what Paul did. Paul was trying to kill Christians. And look what he did. Someone that was the last person to be so influential on our church, on other Christian lives. Someone that persecuted Christians, but he became one of the most impactful people that spread Christianity through his missions, his letters, and his conversations. Going out and being the hands and feet of Jesus. Tabitha, known for her acts of kindness and charity, brought many to the faith and showcased God's power through her as a committed believer. Her commitment to living out her everyday life saved others. I said this earlier, I'm going to say it again, and I know she'll probably watch this and be mad at me. I'm going to pick on Lori again for a minute because I love her so much. I have a friend that y'all can be praying for. He's probably going to get baptized this spring. He's an older man. He comes to Good Hope with us. I've lived life with this man for a long time, and he met Lori one time, and he said the best example of what Lori Duggins is and how she is every day, everywhere she goes, with every person she meets. He said, "Who is that lady?" He said, "She wears Jesus Christ on her face. And she loves everyone she meets and wants everyone she meets to meet him." We should all be doing that. I should be able to go to Sheets like Lori does and harass people, and they know that I'm a Christian. That's Tabitha. That's what I imagine Tabitha did. A woman living her life, wearing Jesus Christ everywhere she went. Priscilla and Aquila, tent makers, regular people doing their normal job, played a crucial role in teaching and spreading the gospel. Everyday people telling others more and more about the gospel, taking time to see and love others. These examples are everyday people doing bold things for their faith, striving to be the church, the body of Christ. That's what we have to do. That's our example. This, the book of Acts, is my example of what I believe the church can be, what I believe Mountain View can be, what Madison County can be. Can y'all imagine writing letters? Well, we don't write letters anymore, but to other counties, encouraging other churches. That's what Paul's doing. He's encouraging the church to not give up because they're probably at the point of wanting to give up sometimes. I'm going to close in prayer because I got to calm down. But I'm thankful to be here, guys. I love the Good Hope Church family, but we're all the same family. And that needs to be said. We're all trying to reach more people. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for today. I thank you for this church family and the reminder we get this morning of a church on mission, a church that is glorifying you everywhere they go, being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ and loving people. Lord, I pray for our church. I pray that we don't lose sight of what our motives are and keeping our motives pure. Lord, I pray that we continue to love people as they walk in the door and they feel that love. I pray that people walk in the door and they see that we love each other and love our neighbors first and foremost. Lord, I pray that people come in and they see Jesus. They feel his presence. They feel your presence, Lord. I pray that we can fill this building up with our prayers. I pray that we can fill our communities up with your prayers, Lord. We need you. I need you. We can't make it through this life without you. Thank you, Lord. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.